Good morning and welcome to the Flex Podcast. I normally record these on a Monday morning, which is right now. And it's quite nice to come in off the back of a slightly relaxing weekend and then get straight into chatting to you guys. So I hope you all had a great weekend if you're also listening to this on a Monday. If you're in the middle of the week, may your weekends be upon you very soon. That's the thing, right? Waiting for that Jill time. So recently I've had a few people sign up for my VIP membership at my classes and join my online program Flex. So one of the things that comes up is to do with nutrition and starting things like kind of from a scratch point. So maybe the person hasn't exercised for a long time, or maybe they've done kind of your general commercial diet, which doesn't necessarily have all that much to do with someone who's exercising and working out and the kind of things that they need to focus on. It might be some crossover parts, but there's not always quite as much detail as maybe people might want to look into on their own, and quite as much information. Commercial diets normally work by giving you a rule to follow, and there's not always a lot of explanation around that rule, and it usually works by eliminating some kind of food group, which we don't necessarily need to do for the most part. Sorry, I've just noticed I've got a hairy knee. That's upsetting, isn't it? I've missed a bit. Right, refocus. So maybe you're coming in from like kind of, I want to start, but I don't really know where to start. And so this is what we're going to look at in this podcast. And it's the kind of stuff that we look at as our base layer when we're working on our group challenges. So if anyone ever wants to do one of them, if you need a bit of accountability with this stuff, I'm going to have one coming up in September, but I'll talk about that on another podcast later on in the month or next month, because it's actually July today. Anyway, shut up. So one of the first things we need doesn't actually have anything to do with nutrition and just has something to do with moving your body. Now, I love it when people get stuck into exercise. And so you are planning all your workouts. You've got all this stuff. I'm going to do this and this and this day. I'm coming to this class. I'm doing this home workout. That is brilliant. And that is what we want to happen. It's great to have that passion. It's awesome to be using your body as much as you can, as much as you can fit in the life that you have. To a degree, obviously, we need to have some rest. But one of the things that we can't undo is being sat still all day. So it's great to fit in your 30-minute workout, your hour workout, or whatever it is in the evening. That is brilliant. But obviously, in that hour and a half or hour, whatever, you're not going to be able to get your whole amount of daily steps in. So this can especially be an issue for people who are working from home. And I work from home a couple of days a week, so I absolutely get it. Like, looking at my watch now, I've done 300 steps thus far. So I totally get it. But this is one of the things that we need to have a little look at. So 10,000 steps is the number that everyone throws around. And as we've talked about many times before, the actual number is somewhere between 6,500 and 7,500. So if you pick 7,000, for example, as the average or the middle point of that bracket, we need to try to get your daily steps up to 7,000. Now, when you're going to do a class or something, you may well get several thousand steps in. So if you're doing an hour's dance fitness, you may well get a good few thousand steps in, and that's going to really dent into this. But we want to keep our body mobile, and we want to keep it working well, and we also want it to allow it to have that time to move naturally. Being stuck at your desk all day isn't natural for us. That isn't what our body was built to do. It is what we do now, which is absolutely fine. Please don't quit your job. But we do have to kind of work out how we're going to work around that. And one of the things I ask my clients to do is think about having a morning commute. So if they know that they are working from home 9 till 6, you could literally go for a walk around the block, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just move your body. That's be over 1,000 steps if you're doing towards that 15-minute mark. That's a really nice chunk already. You might be able to have another 10-minute walk at lunch, and you do need to take your lunch break, and unless you're being allowed to finish early, by the way, because everyone deserves a lunch break even when they're working from home. So even if you pop out for your 10-minute walk before you have your food or whatever, that is great, because then when you get to the end of your day, you're going to be looking at having covered close to that 3,000 step mark. Then you go to your class, you're going to be over your 7,000 steps. Maybe you're not going to classes or you're not ready to work out yet, but you are ready to walk. So you can start to make maybe a walk with friends or with your partner part of your social life. So that works really well. Like, I meet a friend of mine very regularly on a Monday evening when we both finish work. And we just do like an hour, hour and a half around where she lives, because it's on my way home from the gym. And we just do a really nice lap. We chat loads. We went in the rain the other day in the middle of a storm. But we just chat and we kind of like get everything off our chest that we need to. We get to spend quality time together. And we're also outside, which makes both of us feel much more peaceful and relaxed. And it's lovely. So I would highly recommend trying to involve some kind of moving in your social life as well, because that does make it much easier to start hitting your daily steps. Then we're going to move into like more nutrition-based stuff. And one of the first things I would look at, if you're in like kind of interested in your calorie intake, or maybe you're thinking, I know that I'm eating or drinking things that potentially I could make healthier choices with, is to first thing I would look at your fluid intake. When you're hydrated, you function better and you feel more energetic and your brain works better and all this kind of stuff. So it might be, and there's nothing wrong, by the way, with drinking things like tea and coffee and so on. Obviously, you need to make sure you're not drinking too much caffeine. Obviously, you shouldn't be drinking caffeine after like mid-afternoon, because we need to let it get out of our body before we go to sleep. Otherwise, it can disrupt our sleep pattern. Even if we don't have a problem falling asleep, it can still fiddle with the quality of our sleep, and that's something we want to try to avoid. But we also, maybe we're drinking like a lot of soft drinks. Maybe we're drinking juice because we think it's got a portion in it, and it has for some juices. So it's not that necessarily we need to eliminate it, but if you're drinking like 5 orange juices a day, we probably need to bin that habit off and get rid of 4 of them, for example, because obviously we don't need all of the, we would prefer our fruit and vegetable coming from things we have to actually have to chew for some part of it. And also we don't really want to get all that sugar intake in and that calorie intake in just from our drinks, because otherwise I'm not leaving any room for anything else, because we're just pounding it in with our liquids. So it might be that we swap our soft drinks to water or lower calorie alternatives. Maybe we swap our afternoon teas or coffees for herbal tea, so it's eliminating that caffeine part of it. Maybe we just go decaf, great. Maybe we need to think, I'm going to have a glass of water on my desk and I'm never going to let it be empty. As soon as it empties, I'm going to walk to the kitchen, that's a few steps, get my water, come back to my desk. Whatever it is that we're thinking about our hydration. So it isn't that we need to be glugging pints and pints of water all day, but we do just need to make sure that we've got coming into us what we need, and that we're not getting to that point where we realise we actually haven't drunk any liquid for like 5 hours of the afternoon, for example, when it is quite easy for us just to keep sipping it at our desk when we need it. Then the second thing I would look at would be your vegetable and fruit intake, and vegetables being like the thing that we want to look at more than fruit. And I realise that fruit is easier for a lot of people, but try to make sure that your vegetable intake is just as high as your fruit intake, despite the fact that it may be mildly less fun. So we want to look for a minimum of 5 portions of fruit and veg in a day. That would be our minimum. So that's like our daily recommended amount, right, that we have in the UK is our 5 a day. That's the number. But that is what we actually want to hit without thinking about it. So that's not, we manage 1 portion, 3 portions, 2 portions, and then on a Thursday we hit 5 and we're like, oh great, I did it. We need to consistently hit that 5. This is for our gut health, for our fiber intake, for all the nutrients that there are in there. We need that full spectrum from our veg and fruit. When the things that we're putting in our body do matter. So that would be the first thing I'd think about, is actually realistically how many portions are made in a day. And a portion I think is about 80 grams, so it'd be like Or I kind of would use my fist as a guide. Like, a fist is an apple, right? That's about the size of an apple. Bit of a weird-shaped apple, but it is. So, a couple of small satsumas, carrot, you know, whatever it is you're having. Like, a decent-ish portion, and you can eyeball it, obviously. We want a large variety, we want different stuff whenever we can. Obviously, for a lot of us, people who live on the Rhine, it's not possible to have different ones every single day. But having different sources across the week is fantastic. So one, look at your steps. Two, look at your fluid intake and see where you might be able to eliminate some unnecessary calories or maybe manipulate your caffeine intake so it's earlier in the day. Number three, your vegetable and fruit intake, so it becomes normal for you to get all those nutrients in your body first off. That fibre intake is then going to help with your digestion, everything like that. We don't want to be constipated, we don't want to feel drained, all that kind of stuff. So your water intake will also help with that. And then we're coming on to protein, which is very important if you're exercising. If you have any kidney issues, you need to disregard this point and speak to your medical professional. But anyone with fully functioning kidneys and can increase their protein intake a bit. So it depends on who you are as a person. But I would say for most people, it would be beneficial to track your food for a day or two so you can look at your protein intake. You can use a free app like MyFitnessPal, or you can pay for an app like NutriCheck or whatever, and you'll be able to see your fibre and your protein intake on the nutrients part at the bottom of the food diary that's in MyFitnessPal. When you look at the protein that you're eating, you might be a bit surprised that it comes in lower than you thought. So if you think that your average, I'd start for your average woman at 1 gram per kilo. So if you weigh 60 kilos, start at 60 grams. And if you weigh 80 kilos, start at 80 grams. So I would start roughly about there. Make sure you're hitting that and you can hit that consistently. Over time, once you've hit that, or maybe you're hitting it already, so you're ready to move on, that's fine. But what we don't want to do is bump our protein up too quickly, because obviously it has digestive impacts, as any of you who have ramped your protein up quickly will know. So we just do it a little bit slow. And I mean, I'm not talking about building it up over 8 months or anything like that, but we don't just go from eating 20 grams a day to 160 grams a day, because we're going to get that Christmas Day feeling, you know, when you've eaten like a whole chicken and you feel rough. So we're just going to ramp it up slowly. But realistically, if we can get to that 1.6 to 2.2 grams per kilo. So to make it easy, if you go 2 grams at my weight, which is about 61. So I'm looking at about 122 grams of protein a day. Now, I use my bracket. I do anything from 100 to 150. But my average comes in on 120 a day. And I'd say that's probably about right for me. If you're weighing 80 kilos and you do 2 grams, that's 160. So that might feel a bit of a lot of protein to start with. So I would go for the 1 gram and then try to slowly creep it up to get over 100 grams a day. And then find a sweet spot where you can still fit in the foods that you love, but we're not stressing about hitting that 160 grams maybe, because that is quite a lot of protein. So we can just taper what we're setting the goals to on that protein. Now, you get more of the bang from your buck with the earlier amount of protein. So if you're looking, I'm going to try to get 100 grams in, that is a good amount of protein. That's a nice amount. And then we might have days where we have a Nando's and it goes much higher, and that's also great, brilliant. But that bit where we can get our protein up to kind of like a nice solid level, we're going to get a lot of benefit from that in terms of our training, our muscle tone, potential for us building more strength and to get that physique that maybe we're looking for. As we get higher and higher, obviously there can be more benefits to that, but it might be that those benefits are not quite, they're not incrementally as big as that first bit. So I would always say, stress about that beginning bit to like get it up a bit more. And then when you're up at a decent amount, like over 100 grams, don't worry about it so much, because we can get a bit obsessed with things. But what we really want to do is make sure that we have what our body needs. And once we're exercising and we're already pushing our protein up, we're going to be okay. That's nice. We're probably not training to be an Olympic athlete, right? So we don't have to stress about it so much. We just need to make sure that we are getting what our body needs to repair itself and to look after itself and to help us move towards our goals. If you have huge goals, like you want to be a bodybuilder, pay more attention to your protein. But if we're just licking, because those tiny little gram differences are going to make a big difference to you. But if we're just licking for like that bit where we want to be fit, healthy, strong, maybe a bit more toned, then concentrate on getting your intake up on that base level to a nice solid number first and foremost before you stress about like the extra grams. So once you've tracked your protein, you've got an idea. It may be that you look at it and you're like, well, shit me, it's 35 grams I've just eaten today. Bloody hell, I'm quite far off the mark. Then you can start to look at how you're going to increase that during the rest of the, like the next day and the few days after. Maybe it might be useful to you to kind of plan your food a little bit. I think you'll find a vast majority of people that would say that they have like a half decent diet or are quite, you know, comfortable with their nutrition, have done some degree of planning at some point so they know what to eat. It's kind of like when you're learning a new skill, you're just learning how to balance what it is that your body needs. And sometimes like writing it down or putting in the app first, you can look at it and be like, wow, shit a brick, didn't know that meal had 25 grams of protein in. It's got a decent amount of fibre in. I'm quite happy with that. I've got two portions of veg in there. Lovely. That gives you like a way to go, hold on, I know that that meal's great. And now let's say it's a stir fry and you've got all your chicken in it, whatever. You know that you can remake that meal with prawns in and it's going to be a decent amount of protein. You can remake it with beef in or whatever, and you know it's going to have a decent amount of protein. So that's always lodged in your head. And then you can move on to plan another meal, and you're like, right, now I know this meal has got a decent amount of protein in. That's one on my list. I liked it, it was good, helped me hit my targets, I feel pleased with it. And that's sort of where people are when you think, oh God, they just do this so naturally. They only do it naturally because they did this bit to begin with, and now they know how to just swap their food around without really thinking about it. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, cool. I'm going to have this, and this, and that'll probably hit the stuff that I need for my body to feel great. And it just comes with time and practice. So don't feel like, God, it's so labor intensive. It's so full of admin. I bet no one else does this. We all did it. I promise you. We've all done it. Spent a lot of time working out where I'm at with different food and how to bump my protein up a bit without me having to eat half a cow. Like, it takes a lot of time. So these are the four things that I would look at if you're starting from scratch. And one thing I do want to press, nutrition doesn't need to be perfect. Mine is not. I had beers this weekend, and for my dinner last night, I have mozzarella sticks and breaded chicken with Pyrenees, because that is what I fancied. I did also do a bowl of vegetables with it, just to be clear. But we're not all sitting there with rice, chicken and broccoli every single meal. That's not what's happening for people. But it just, I knew I wanted cheese. I knew I needed some meat. I wasn't feeling like I needed any carbohydrates because I had a roast dinner earlier. And I really wanted some breaded chicken. So in order to balance out my desire for some breaded freezer food, I did Mediterranean vegetables on the side so that I could make sure that I was covering like my bases. And it can literally be that easy to start with. Definitely just going, do you know what, this is my favorite pasta thing, it's got chicken in, it's fantastic, I love it, but I haven't put any veg in it, so maybe I'll do myself a side salad. Or I'm gonna, people always think this is weird, but me and my friend Hats do this loads. I have quite a lot of green vegetables with things that maybe other people don't. Like, I might have just have the bolognese from a bolognese with green veg, or just the chili with green veg. I love it because I have to be honest, I do like the carbs that come with it. And sometimes, obviously, I do have them as well. But sometimes if I'm not training, I don't need as much carbohydrate. I eat a lot of carbs, by the way, in general. But sometimes, like, I don't train on a Friday. Like, I haven't really moved that much. I've got my steps in. That's about all I've done. I know I don't need, like, 2 tons of pasta with my bolognese. And the thing that actually I care about more is the fact that I want cheese on it, if I'm completely honest. So I'm like, great. I want the cheese and I want the meat. They're things I care about. I know I need the vegetables, so I'm going to cook them to go on the side. Like, I do it like that. so that I know that my body's getting the healthy stuff. And actually, the pasta beer is great, but it probably for me isn't the thing that makes me go as wild, because I really want the meat and cheese. The cheese is a theme. So you'll find your own little balances to help kind of get your fruit and veg intake up and your protein intake up. If you need any help, as always, reach out. I do have a challenge starting in September, so it's going to be 4 weeks. It's normally like kind of like get your shit together. We have a really nice vibe. Everyone shares their food pictures. They talk about when they're getting stuck or they're not getting their steps in. They couldn't be asked to get out of bed to go for their walk. And then everyone goes, come on, you can do it. Walk around the block quickly. Like, it's kind of that vibe. It's everyone really motivating each other. We get a really nice solid month in to like kick off a term. So yeah, stay tuned for that. If you want to be on the, like, whatever it's called, early access list, let me know, and I will drop you a little message when, as soon as I put it on sale for my geeky people that I know you want to do it. Right, okay, I'm going to stop talking because that was way longer than I thought it was going to be, but I hope that was helpful. And yeah, just sit down with that little list of four things and be like, right, pick one, start that, working on that today, and then have a ponder about another one. You don't need to do everything in the first day. Just start having a little think about things and then see how you feel once you've got that one thing in place and organised. Don't feel overwhelmed. Pick one thing, walk in and drink more water today. Done. We're already on our way. That's exactly what we want to do. Get the ball rolling and then start filling with other things later. Okay, have a fabulous day. I'll speak to you again soon.